everybody, and welcome again to Shoal Sports Talk. Glad to have all of y'all back again tonight. Got a few things to talk about. Obviously, huge weekend.
Oh man. I'm a fan of the rematch now.
Yeah.
I told you
that. I don't doubt it.
I told you that I would let you know how I felt about the rematch on Sunday. And definitely a fan of it now after what happened.
So is the BCS, apparently.
the computers want a rematch.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Well, you know, Alabama comes in third in the BCS, which I'm a little shocked about. I think probably the people out in Palo Alto were probably a little shocked
probably
about it, too.
Upset.
And probably a little tore up about it.
Probably a little bit.
But it happens, you know, and it's a part of the game. And, you know, we'll talk about it later. You know, who do you pull for? And as an Alabama fan, I know people was like, oh, I want LSU to lose. I want LSU to lose. I think the only way Alabama gets a national championship game is if it's a rematch.
Really?
Because if Arkansas beats LSU, I would think Arkansas goes in to the SEC championship game.
Mm-mm. That wouldn't work.
What's the tiebreaker?
Because this is how it would go down. If Alabama beats Arkansas, or if Arkansas beats LSU, I'm sorry, in a, everyone's got one loss, and they even out head-to-head, because LSU beat Alabama, Alabama beat Arkansas, and Arkansas beat LSU. So the tiebreaker then
goes to the BCS.
Highest BCS ranking.
Which I would think.
But if Arkansas beats, even if they beat number one, will they jump from, say, if they stay at 8 or 7,
will they jump past
Alabama?
That's the question.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's
I'm
the question.
Thinking,
how far does LSU fall?
Yeah.
Alabama only fell to one spot.
Yeah.
You know, of course, they did lose to LSU. They did lose 9-6.
That's the thing. You barely lose to the number one team in the nation.
I'm a fan of, if you're going to lose early.
Yeah, no
it's
doubt.
It's better to lose early than it is to lose late, because you can always play yourself back into it.
Proved that years ago.
And Oklahoma, you know, they're in that situation too. To where Arkansas gets beat by Arkansas beats LSU, Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State, you know, Stanford gets beat by Oregon. Let's just throw Boise out.
Yeah, let's do that.
Corso
said it too.
Boise's
viable.
Yeah, Corso said this weekend that they're not going to get into it. And people can say what they want to say and all that good stuff, but it's it is what it is. But
you may disagree with me being an Alabama fan. You probably will. Brian Wilson's my favorite college picker they've had.
Oh,
my celebrity picker.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was incredible.
He was good. And I know you like Brian Wilson.
Oh, I think he's hilarious.
I think he's a clown.
I love him. Absolutely love him.
I don't think he'll be good. I think he will be irrelevant in 3 years.
That's possible. I won't go believe it against that. I mean, he's good. He didn't have near the year this year.
It's just people, anytime that you're a character,
people love you.
It builds on you.
Yeah.
And I think you'll break, fall apart.
He proved that he knows nothing about football during his picks.
Did you see what he said about Arkansas and South Carolina?
The thing is, I was watching it, but like people were talking in the room, and I couldn't hear the funny joke. What exactly
did he say? He said, well, we got two big mascots, the backs and the cocks. You always got to take the cocks in this situation. And Chris Fowler was looking like, I don't know what to say. And
that's when Herb Street starts
giggling like he never heard the word
like
in his life. Like he had never heard the word in his life. Like he was shocked that Brian Wilson, and I was shocked that Brian Wilson had said that. I mean, it is what it is. Talking about the rematch, as a Alabama fan, yes.
Right.
I think it would be good. But if Alabama won yesterday, I'd be screaming, no, 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 we beat them, we got our first shot. But the thing is, we had our shot, and we didn't win. We had shots to win, we left 16 points on the board. And we'll talk about the kicking. I'm not the one to blame the kicker.
And I liked your tweet last night that you said.
Alabama had multiple penalties.
Yep.
On big drives.
Yep.
To go second and 10 to second and 15, or first and 15, or third and 8. Penalties that backed them up all night, and stuff like that hurts.
Yeah, no
doubt. And we're kicking. I'm going to say we didn't make a field goal. We didn't miss a field goal that we could have made.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we kicked four field goals we had no chance of making.
I agree. So that's the question. And I heard a lot of Bama fans talking about that today. Should you have kicked some of those? Should you have punted, pinned them deep?
Well,
and trusted your defense, who's obviously good.
Yeah, the defense was great. And I'm putting it, you know, there's several things that I can think of. I think one of those you might have punt. I think the 55-yarder early in the game you punt, or you take a shot in the end zone there before the half.
Right.
But another thing I want to talk about is it does come down to special teams. Mm-hmm. And we said it last week. LSU has a game in the kicking, has the edge in the kicking game, and it's going to hurt Alabama, and it hurt Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And special teams is, you know, I don't know who's to blame, but you know you got Mays is hurt. Mays hurts his ankle.
He shouldn't have been in to return that punt
because he could not move. He could not move laterally.
You got a freshman in there that you had to do
that.
Put him in there and say fair catch it.
Yeah. So you get the ball, field position. We're going down to win. We start the 50. You go 30 yards in field goal range. You're going to score. Blah, blah, all that good stuff. And then you go from the 50 to the 20.
Yep.
Because you let a ball roll.
Yep.
And all you have to do is catch it. Yep. And I don't think he could have got to it.
I don't know if he could have either, just because he couldn't.
Go sideways.
His movability was
He was fine north and south, but east and west.
Movability is a word, but I just made it one.
Making up
mobility,
words.
I guess.
Making up words here.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a great. As a guy who likes hard-nosed football, it was a great football
yes.
game. As a guy, somebody who likes points, not so much.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I thought it was a great game.
It was incredible.
I told you, I texted you last night, I was about to throw up. You know, it was a sickening feeling.
Yeah.
Knowing that Alabama had left all those points on the board.
Oh, I know the feeling.
But it was would it be a good rematch? I think it definitely would be. Should it happen? Probably not.
Yeah.
But also to say, they shouldn't go over an undefeated team. Oklahoma State gets beat and Stanford's undefeated and Alabama goes over Stanford, then that's a problem.
I think so.
But if you got a one loss, they're by far the best one loss team in the nation.
Not because necessarily Stanford's better than Alabama, but just because
they're in a conference. They're an AQ conference, and they're undefeated. And they should
exactly
an undefeated team should go over one loss team.
But as I've said for 3 weeks, let me remind the listeners: Oklahoma State's going to the national championship. They're staying undefeated.
They got a better shot yesterday. With Ryan Broyles tearing his ACL.
Yes, they did. I'm not going to be the guy that says that solidified it, but I'm still saying they beat Oklahoma.
I hope you're wrong.
It's happening.
I hope we have a David Freeze moment, and you're wrong, like the World Series. But I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
No, I wouldn't either.
But it's a team they haven't beat in a long time.
It's funny to look at, though. You had Alabama and LSU, and you just compare the conferences, which makes me laugh. You had two big games going on at one time. 1 and 2 were playing at number 3 in Kansas State. I forget what they were last night.
Yeah.
They were still in the top 10, I think, with a one loss. We're playing. Over on CBS, Alabama LSU finishes 9-6. Over on ABC, Oklahoma State and Kansas State finish like 50-something to 40-something.
It's just a tough – but they're the only two teams in the nation that would play like that, I think. It's just defensive battle.
Yeah, no, yeah, Alabama and LSU for sure.
And it was a – It was a heavyweight fight.
Yeah.
In every part of the word. What about the quote, the Tom Rinaldi talking about Trent Richardson? I mentioned it Thursday night about everybody has a game plan until you get punched.
Okay, let's recap. Our Thursday night special on LSU Alabama. All right. And how I'm gonna say it. How smart we are.
We may be better than we give ourselves credit for.
How smart we are and our callers are. All right, everyone but one person said 3-point game.
And that one person called LSU. So he gets a little.
No, Corey was the one that said more than 3.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
okay.
Corey said 24-16. Now, Luke called LSU winning. He was the only LSU person that called LSU winning. Me and you both called Alabama winning. So did Corey, Matt, and Myers. LSU won. Luke, credit to you, sir. Everyone called a 3-point game but one.
In my heart, I wanted to pick LSU.
Right.
In my head.
Right.
But in my heart, I had to go with Alabama.
LSU won, which Luke called, so we did have someone call it. All said 3-point game except one. You said kicking game is what it would come down to. It did. I talked about how quarterback play would be.
And it did.
And it did, to an extent. Now, granted, Lee kind of messed the bed a little bit early. McCarron didn't have a terrible game.
He had to win the game yesterday.
But he had to win the game and he couldn't do it. In overtime right there, you can't take a sack. You cannot take a sack. You got to get rid of the ball. You got to do something. But especially how your kicking game's been, and you know you struggled from deep. You can't take a sack and force yourself back. Can't do it. And it was one of those where he ducked down knowing, hey, I'm taking this sack.
He reminded me of Brody Croll when he did that. But the thing that stuck out in my mind was that's the most on Les Miles game I have ever seen in my life.
I agree.
Is where he didn't do anything stupid.
Nope.
They controlled everything. They didn't run any trick plays. Speaking of trick plays, that play was wide open.
Yes.
And they defended it great and made Mays throw it earlier than he wanted to. He had to go off his back foot. He was wide open.
This is my question, too. And it was wide open, but why is Mays throwing the ball there? I'm not a fan of that call. I'll be honest with you.
You know, he threw a pass last year. They've worked before. And I told my dad this. They have a kid named Blake Sims who is an athlete. I mean, that's what he is. Like, he doesn't get on the field much, but he's like your sixth receiver, your third quarterback, your fourth running back. He does everything.
Right.
Why isn't he your Wildcat?
Yeah.
Because he can't. Well, obviously, he can throw it. Right. I mean, he's your third quarterback.
Right. And Mays can throw it, too. I mean, he's done it before, but in that situation, and maybe they were trying to mix up some trickery, and yeah, if it would have worked, we would have been like, incredible play call, throwing him off, got him going, it was open, Bama would have scored right there, I have no doubt.
Yeah.
Richardson would have pounded it in. Well,
that's a tough play, that's a tough call, too, by the refs, is, and if they call it a catch, they can't overturn it to make an interception.
Right.
But they call it an interception, and you can't, you know, because I've always thought dual possession goes to the receiver.
See, but this is my only thing with it. To me, before he went down, he didn't have complete control.
Oh, for sure. That made the right call.
Yeah, yeah, I think that.
But if they caught it a catch, they couldn't have overturned it to an interception.
Right.
I don't think.
No, no.
And people will say that's what happened, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can point that loss out to a number of things.
And that's the thing. You have a lot of people talking on Twitter and Facebook, and of course things blow up, and the fandom of people really show out, and I'm not at all hating that. That's what makes sports great, in a sense. But also, you know, you're the number two team in the nation playing the number one team in the nation. The two best teams playing, bar none, without question. This is why the game got the hype. It's why it lived up to the hype. So, at the end of that game, as a fan, and again, I have no dog in the fight, so to speak, but as a fan at the end of that game, you just got to say, even though your team lost and it hurts, you've got to say, hey, we got beat by the number one team. It's not like Bama's a bad football team now. You know what I mean? They're a great football team. They still are. They will be for the rest of the year.
They still have an opportunity, if they take care of business, to end January playing the national championship.
Yeah.
Or in the Sugar Bowl. They still have a lot to play for.
That's one of those things where, hey, I understand you're upset because you lost. I'm not going to tell you. Don't be upset because, I mean, I of all people know how to be upset after a loss. I've numbed myself to it now after the losses that we've had. But you got to understand, too, hey, we got beat by a great football team. We're still a great football team. Let's not try to find things to blame it on. And let's just say we got beat in a three-point game in an absolute war, you know, to quote Kellen Winslow, a battle. And, you know, it is what it is.
I think if they play 10 times, it's 5-5.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And Matt, by the way, speaking of last Thursday, Matt from Florida, from Tampa, he called overtime. He said, I'd like to see a quadruple overtime. Granted, we didn't go to quadruple, but
yeah.
So we called that too, just for the record.
Yeah. We had a good night.
Yeah.
And, you know, moving off of Alabama LSU, because I'm just physically sick of thinking about it.
Let me say this real quick. Speaking of kicking games, I've got to talk about Tennessee.
I was about to ask you about Tennessee.
Okay. Did you hear about that?
What happened?
Okay, Tennessee won yesterday, 24-0. Everyone, three cheers for Tennessee. We won a game. Feels good. And I don't care if it's against MTSU. Y'all can throw that in my face. Hey, I'm glad to see us win a game. We need a confidence win. I don't care who it's against. Okay, Pilardi, the number one kicker, went down Thursday, had an injury, and they thought he was going to be ready. He wasn't. So they warming up with the backup. I forget his name. And he tweaks a muscle in warm-ups for the game. So, it's 7:15 kickoff time in Knoxville, 6:15 our time here in Florence. So, 7:15 kickoff time. At 6:10, the coaching staff called Derek Brodus in the frat house. All right, Derek Brodus is a walk-on from Alcoa, around that area.
Yeah.
Kicker. They don't work three kickers in practice.
Yeah.
All right, he says that he'll kick with them and stuff, and then the team goes out to the practice field, and he stays in the indoor facility and kicks by himself with really no supervision. So, might I add that he's an African-American left-footed kicker, which I want to know if there's another one out there. All right.
I'm looking this up.
So, he comes in. They call him at 6:10 in the frat house and say, you're going to need to get to Neyland Stadium as soon as possible. This is about an hour before kickoff. So he thought it was a joke. You know, he's relaxing on the couch. He gets a police escort about halfway to the stadium, comes into the stadium, gets in the locker room. Somebody's in there to stretch him real quick as somebody gets him some equipment to put on. He goes out in the game, makes 3 extra points, makes a 25-yard field goal, and handles the kickoffs for the entire day.
Good for him.
I mean, and it's funny because Dooley joked around and said we were kind of hoping. And that's another reason why I just love Derek Dooley, because he's hilarious. But he said we were kind of hoping that he hadn't, quote-unquote, had too much fun on that Saturday.
I just pulled the article up, and Dooley said we didn't have a kicker, and we had to make a call to the frat house. This is no lie. We called the frat house and made a policeman go get him. And he said we made a policeman go get him, and I just lost the page. We're coming back onto it. And he said, this is incredible.
This is killing me, dude.
This is cool. Another plus to the Vols, Brodus was sober. Let's get a call to Brodus, Dooley recalled telling his staff. And it's a good thing he wasn't having too much Saturday afternoon fun. Hey, an intoxicated, and as I told the coaches, an intoxicated Brodus is better than nobody.
Just
get him here and we'll do a breathalyzer. Fortunately, he hadn't done anything bad. That is great.
See, they asked Brodus in the press conference. He got a press conference, of course. He was special teams player of the game. He got the game ball for special teams. They asked him in the press conference, you know, Dooley was worried that maybe you had a few beverages, is what they called it, before the game. You know, would you have normally had some, is what they asked. And he, of course, gave the right answer and said, no, I'm not quite 21 yet. And kind of laughed about it. Because, I mean, the guy's a freshman, true freshman. He's 18 years old.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. We brought in a walk-on freshman, African-American, left-footed kicker from the frat house an hour before the game, and the guy makes 3 extra points to field goal and does kickoffs. I love it. Classic.
That's why he didn't drink. He said, because I'm not quite 21 yet. So, seemingly he's a pretty good kid.
Yeah. Oh, man. Classic.
That's great. And I want to talk to you about this. I tweeted you yesterday, the Vols football. I follow pretty much, if there's an SEC team that has a Twitter account,
yeah,
I follow them just because I'm interested in it, and I follow Vols football. And 88,000 yesterday?
We're rocking.
Is that, where's the support?
I think it has a few things to do. And they actually asked Dooley about that in the press conference. Post-game press conference, they said, you had a small crowd. And Dooley, of course, said he thinks we have the best fans in America, as every coach in the world is going to say. And, I mean, I'm a Tennessee fan, so clearly we have the best fans in America. But, anyway, he said he didn't really notice the numbers, to be honest with you. The ones that were there did a good job. But you got to understand the circumstances, too. We've lost 3 in a row. We were playing MTSU. Not a huge game. It wasn't going to be a sold-out crowd anyway. Probably would have been less than 100,000, regardless, even if we were on a roll and we had won 5 in a row or something. And same time as LSU-Bama. So, facing that situation, I don't hate it. Now, yeah, it stinks as a Tennessee fan. I'd like to show.
I mean, that's,
like
how many fans. How many does it sit?
Official is like 102, something.
Of course, I've been there 4 times, and the way they fit 102,000 is you're sitting on top of each other.
Yeah, they like to pack them in.
It's the most cramped I've ever
don't
been in my life.
Don't sit by a bigger guy. Because I've done that before.
And you can't. I don't know if they've changed it. I know they renovated a couple years ago. But the last time I was there was like 08.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, you can just forget walking in the concourses.
Oh, no, it's a little packed. No, they have spread that out now. They've made the concourse much bigger, the concourse area, and it's a little more movable. I actually, last game I went to, the Cincinnati game this year, I left at halftime and got in the bathroom and got back in like 5 minutes, which I think is a new land speed record for using the bathroom in Neyland Stadium.
I agree. But I just it worries me as a fan that just is the support there.
Yeah.
And it's very possible they play Kentucky.
Do they
play Kentucky? They play Kentucky later, right?
Yeah, they do.
You got to think they'll beat Kentucky. Vandy's no pushover.
No, they're not.
And
they gave Florida all they wanted.
If you go 0-7 in the conference, which they're staring down the barrel of it.
Yeah, right now.
What happens?
I don't know. I don't think there's enough hot seat talk right now.
I don't think they'll
in the
lose.
Knoxville area.
I think they'll beat Vandy in Kentucky.
Right. Well, I feel all but positive we beat Kentucky. You know, I have a feeling that streak lives on now. I don't want to eat my words, and that'd be the crazy upset game. I mean, Kentucky beat Ole Miss this weekend. Granted, Ole Miss is struggling right now. You know, Joker Phillips
probably,
is having a bad year. He just cost Houston
another
streak.
They're probably about to lose Houston now.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But Vandy, see, I don't know with Vandy. They always gear up. Tennessee is Vandy's Super Bowl. No questions asked. They gear up for that game, and they play Tennessee tough every year. And all you other fans out there are like, whatever, it's Vandy. You can't call that a rivalry game. Well, it's our in-state rivalry game, you know, just because they're the only team in conference in-state.
Yeah.
But they're no pushover, but no one is quite as good at barely losing to folks as Vandy is. And they did it.
They're a reason why they're Vandy.
And that's the thing, and my dad has always said this. When you're used to losing, you always find a way to lose.
It's just like winning.
Yeah.
Winners know how to win, and losers know how to lose. Vandy plays not to lose.
Yeah, all the time. They should have beat Florida.
They should have beat Arkansas.
They should have beat Arkansas. You know, watching that game this weekend against Florida, they had them there. Which, again, makes me talk about Muschamp. You know, obviously, he ain't going nowhere right now.
Yeah.
It's his first year, but he's going to have to turn things around. All right. And I heard a Tennessee beat writer say this. He said, you know, I understand why Tennessee is not very good right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're young, and you hate to say we're rebuilding, but we're still trying to get over some things that we had, you know, with Fulmer leaving and then Kiffin coming in and then him leaving and then Dooley. We're losing a lot of recruits with that. And so he understands why Tennessee ain't very good. But why is Florida not very good? Why is Florida not very good this year? They had Brantley out for a few games. Yeah, they're starting quarterback. But you got Dempsey and Rainey in the backfield. Your defense is not terrible by any stretch of the imagination. They're better than Tennessee's.
Yeah.
Why is Florida not very good? You know? I mean, really, I just don't understand it. And I'm not saying they should have, you know, been all amazing or anything.
Yeah.
But they should be much more of in contention to win the East than they are.
Yeah, I don't.
And Georgia starts out the way they start out, and they're going to go to the SEC Championship.
They are.
And granted, they had a weak West schedule this year. You know, they played, what, Miss State, Ole Miss, and who else did they play from the West? Auburn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they play Auburn every
year. I think Auburn will beat Georgia.
Do you?
Yeah.
And see, I don't know.
I respect Auburn a lot more than a lot of Alabama fans do. I think and the same thing, winning breeds winning.
Yeah,
and
we've talked about that.
As they've won, they know how to win, and they've got guys on that team that can teach the young guys how to win, and they're not great by no means. And I'll be interested to see how they are next year once Gus Malzahn goes to Ole Miss. I don't know, man. It's gonna be interesting. Why is Florida not as good as they are? I think it's because they're not a very good coach.
Yeah.
But
you've said that.
That's just me.
He's not a head coach.
But you know, it's been fun to watch these games and to talk about it and see how things come out. UNA, huge win yesterday.
Big win. What was the final there?
They won 28-3. They played great. Like, they really
did. I
didn't
see any of that.
They
game.
Really did play really good. Yesterday they came out and were very. They threw a couple of interceptions, but they ran the ball great. They played up great. They played up front. Awesome. Played awesome up front. Defense was back to where defense needs to be. And that was a fun game. They play Valdosta State this week. They have an opportunity to host a playoff game if they win. They have to win. You know, they do have to win this week to stay in the playoffs, but I think they can.
And that's what we said. They needed to come out, refocus, you know, and understand, hey, we've had two losses. It's time to get – we're still in a situation to control our own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to get our minds right, refocus, and let's finish this thing strong. Let's peak at the right time. You know,
and I think they're doing it. I think they ran the ball great yesterday. Wes Holland had 153 yards of rushing.
Nice to see.
Had a couple of guys, you know, have 60 and all that. And they got four guys who can really tote the rock. And I think I think they're clicking at the right time, hopefully. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Who do the Vols have this week?
The Vols have Arkansas.
Oh.
In Arkansas.
Oh.
Now,
man.
Word is Bray gets his cast off Monday. I still don't picture him playing.
How'd the kid play yesterday?
Worley did much better. Now, he had one touchdown pass to Rodgers. Rodgers had a better game than he had last week. He really had a letdown game last week. But he had one nice deep ball to Rodgers. You know, he had over 100 yards passing, no interceptions, and looked much better. And I think he needed that against MTSU. He needed a confidence game to come in, you know, get his feet wet in a different situation in a game that, you know, the team's got a little more confidence to run. We still can't run the ball. And we look terrible running the ball again. Even against MTSU, I think Poole averaged 1.2 yards a carry.
Oh.
Tony, a new guy they brought in to run a little bit, he ran the ball pretty well. He's a smaller guy. And he, I think, only averaged like 2.7 yards a carry. So, we still can't run it. And that's going to hurt us. And then when Dooley said that, in the presser when they were asking about the run game, he said, you know, people keep wanting to ask the question, when are we going to fix the running game? And there comes a time when you got to say, hey, we ain't very good at running the ball.
Yeah.
We ain't going to fix it. We're just flat out not very good at running the ball. And that's the fact of the matter. Because it ain't been fixed yet. We tried some new things. And we're just not very good. Period. So, I don't know, man. I don't know where that's headed. You know, how it's going to be, who knows, man.
It'll be interesting to see. I think they need to win the last two conference games.
Yeah, I think so, too. Bad.
And I don't think they'll fire him.
No, I don't think so. Definitely
but
not.
You don't need to go 0-4 in the conference.
No.
And preferably
you need to get more than one win in the conference.
And that's what's got nut. They lost their 12th straight conference game yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's fired yet, but they're – I mean, he's not going to be back next year. And I think he may be the only conference coach to lose his job.
Yeah, I think so.
So, we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if Spurrier retired.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting close. He's quietly finished his career up there in South Carolina. I mean, I say quietly. I mean, I know they made it to the SEC championship last year for the East. But again, and they beat Alabama last year, you know, snuck up on them and beat them. But then again, I mean, he's just not making leaps and bounds up there in Columbia.
Yeah.
You know. So, I don't think he's far from retirement, personally.
Yeah. Me neither.
Just, you know, it's one of those things. So, who knows, man. It's going to be an interesting next couple of weeks to see how it plays out. Oklahoma State, Stanford, you know, they got two big games left. Oklahoma State's got Texas Tech this weekend. I mean, they've snuck up on people before.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they've messed the bed right after that.
Yeah.
In the next two games. But, you know, Stanford's got Oregon. That's another big game on their schedule.
It is.
So.
Oregon's very quietly having a good season.
They are.
You know, people don't talk about them because they got beat by LSU, but they're right up there with it. You know, they're in the hunt just as well anything is. As, you know, as Alabama and Oklahoma and all those schools are too, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Big news out of the SEC, out of Birmingham today, Missouri is officially a member of the SEC East.
SEC East, huh?
Yeah. So they're going to be. Tennessee will get to play them every year. And
I'm going to be honest. Out of those two, Texas A&M and Missouri, I'd rather play Missouri every year.
Yeah.
Not just
for
because
sure.
Texas A&M is a powerhouse, but I think Missouri is lesser of the two. You know?
Yeah. And the good thing is we get to play Tennessee every year.
Yeah.
We don't lose that.
The question is,
not a natural fit.
No.
And
no,
you
no.
probably can't call it the East and the West anymore.
Yeah, that's my next question. Will we get a rename of the conferences? All can one can only hope we don't go to something as stupid as the Legends and Leaders.
Bear and Dooley. Vince and Bear.
Vince and Bear. Kneeland and Bear.
Kneeland and Bear. I don't know.
I don't know.
Leaders and Legends.
That's so terrible. Oh, that's so terrible, man. Like, when I just watch it in a game and I'm like they talked about this weekend, Michigan and Michigan State and Nebraska are ahead of the Legends Conference, the Legends Division. And I'm just like, this is – who threw that idea out in the Big 12 meetings and said, that sounds awesome?
The Jim Delaney did.
Let's do that, and that'll be great. We got leaders and we got legends here.
I don't know what SEC is going to be. It's going to the divisions. Hopefully they'll think of something good.
It's getting to the point now with conference realignment. You're going to have to lose geographical division names and possibly conference names.
I think it should just be like better than and you.
Oh, who's better than the West?
National and champions.
Hey, that works. I like that. I like that one. One side will be national, one side will be champions. That works.
And everybody's, the SEC is overrated. Get out of here with that.
Yeah, get real. Yeah. How about we have one side as national champions and the other side as insert number here?
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. I think it's good. I think it's going to be interesting. It helped basketball.
Yeah, no
doubt.
You know,
people won't talk about that any. But you got Missouri coming in basketball, and you got Texas A&M coming in. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. You know, it starts in July 2012.
Yeah.
So it's going to be neat to see how they do the football schedules and how that's going to handle. And, you know, of course, the basketball this year, I think, and I could be wrong, that they're not playing divisions in basketball.
No, I don't think they are. I want to say they didn't do that last year.
I thought it was this year's the first year that
this year maybe. I don't know, but
yeah. I think you play your division teams the same.
Right.
But when it comes into the conference tournament, it's just 1-8.
Which is how it should be, and it's how it should have been, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Because when you have and like the West here lately has controlled the football, but the East has been dominant in basketball the past few years. You know, Tennessee's been dominant. That may end abruptly.
I think Alabama won the West last year and would have been the fifth seed in the tournament.
Yeah.
But they're the one seed.
Right.
Of the
and Alabama's on the up and up, in my opinion, in basketball.
Yeah, me too.
Great coach. But you've had Tennessee in the East, Florida, you know, who am I forgetting? Vandy, Kentucky. I mean, come on, man. Get real.
Tennessee.
Georgia's, you know, they're middle of the pack sometimes.
Yeah.
But there's no way it should be your top, what is it, top eight, I think, you go. It should be that the top eight teams just period in the SEC go. Because there's no reason that the fifth best, you know, in past, the fifth best SEC East team, that's the top 25 ranked team, gets left out of the tournament for the third West team who, you know, is a 500, little better than 500 mm-hmm. team. No way that should happen. And you see that in bigger conferences, they do it that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's bigger conferences, other conferences.
I think it's the way to go, and I think it's going to be interesting to see. Basketball season is just right on the corner. Alabama tips off some more night with UAH.
How well, and I know we lost, but how did you know how we fared against Ole Miss, UNA did?
We played really well up front. We had like too many turnovers. Our stars just turned the rock over too much. But halftime, we were down by 10. 7 minutes left, we were down by 4. You know, we got beat by 30.
Yeah,
but we play,
and, what
and they're
expect,
just deeper than we are.
Yeah, you know, no doubt.
We have eight guys that are going to play, and they got 6'9" guy, and our tallest starter 6'6", and
yeah.
It's just, you know.
I mean, it's a different league.
We got some guys who can score.
Yeah. And again, that's something to go out there and see what you've got, you know, to have a big time competition game and see some things, you know, see what guys can handle, even and it's an exhibition game, handle some big time competition at least, even though it's a game that doesn't mean really anything. As far as
just getting to play.
Implications on the season.
Just getting experience.
Getting experience against a good team, even though, you know, Ole Miss is not a powerhouse SEC team, but they're an SEC team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's definitely a good thing. You know, and I'm excited for basketball season to tip off, girls and boys. You know, our women's team had a great season last year.
They tip off this weekend, this coming up weekend. The men tip off Sunday against Huntington College.
It's at home, isn't it?
It's at home. We both tip off at home. And this Sunday, we play Huntington at 3 o'clock. It's Sundays on Sunday. First students until I run out of ice cream will be getting ice cream. So
I have to eat it really, really
fast. No, you can have it as long as you can take good. As long as you
I'm
want to.
Take my time.
Coach Champagne came up with that idea, and on Tuesday night is Michael Jackson night.
Get
the
out
women,
of here.
The women tip off at 7 o'clock against Tennessee Temple, and it's gonna be Michael Jackson night, and they're gonna do. If your name's Michael, you get in for free. If you wear a white glove, first 100 students get a free white glove.
No chance.
Yes.
Whose idea was this?
Tyler Unsicker, our ticket manager, teaches a class, and they get to do a promotional event every year, and this is what they've chosen to do.
Wow.
The best dressed Michael Jackson is going to win $200 to Best Buy, and the best dancer at halftime will win $200.
You want me to tell you who the best dancer is going to be?
Who?
And I don't know a name, but my freshman year, UNA, lived in the dorms, Rivers Hall, and had, obviously, a meal plan at Towers, the cafeteria. One day in there, one of our foreign students was in there.
Tearing it up?
Dressed as my... And it wasn't for anything, I don't think. I think it wasn't around Halloween. It was just because maybe he was a fan. You know? I really don't know. But he was dressed up, head to toe, Michael Jackson. And when he had his hat tilted down, swear he looked like him. He looked like old Michael. Like, he looked like Thriller Michael. All right? Because he was a Middle Eastern student. And so he had, you know, a darker complexion. Mm-hmm. He looked like Thriller Michael, I'm telling you, with a hat tipped. If you didn't look him in the face, you would have thought it was Michael Jackson. I mean, his moonwalk on point.
Maybe he's still there.
I hope he is. You know, maybe he was a freshman when I was a freshman. He's still in there. If so, I'm going to watch him dance. You know what I'm saying? Because Michael was a strange cat. There ain't no questioning about that. But Thriller Michael was incredible.
Yeah.
All right? You can hate on the King of Pop all you want. Thriller Michael was top notch.
I agree.
And that guy was Thriller Michael, and it was incredible.
It's good. I hope we have people come. It's going to be a fun event. If family of five, you get in for $15. Jackson 5, of course.
Oh my goodness,
and we're just doing
different
promotions. We got a bunch of faculty and staff doing the Thriller dance at halftime.
Yes.
And we may or may not have a special guest coming and moonwalking for us. But it's going to be neat. You know, we're going to be wearing white gloves.
That's so awesome.
It's something different. A little kind of a minor league baseball promotion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
On.
But you see a lot of teams. You know, like the Giants this year had like. What was that band? Old band.
The Grateful Dead?
The Grateful Dead, yes, thank you. They had a Grateful Dead night where, like, you came dressed up as, like, the Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm.
The parts of the Grateful Dead sung the national anthem.
That's awesome.
And it's just, I mean, it's fun, man. It's good. And you see that on, like, SportsCenter Top 10 all the time when baseball teams have those silly.
I think it's going to be fun, and I love, you know, doing promotional stuff. I love stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, it's a
like
blast.
Anything
man.
That we can get people involved and make them feel a part of the game.
Yeah.
Is big.
Definitely so.
So, you know, look for those two events coming up. That's Sunday and Monday. Be looking on our Facebook, on University of North Alabama Athletics Facebook page and student promo and Twitter, and I'll be talking about those two events. You know, and that's really what we got coming up with the next week. And that was something that we plan on talking about, and this will probably be something, you know, as we start to head on out of this episode. It's the Penn State situation.
Oh, my goodness. It sickens me, man.
It's sad because I think that's how he's going to go out.
I don't think he'll be remembered that way. I don't think Joe Paul will be remembered that way.
He's led such a classy program for 40, 50 years.
I want to say I read that they've never had, Penn State, of all places, an institution untouched by NCAA sanctions.
Never had a violation.
And before this, scarcely a hint of any form of scandal.
Never done anything bad. He's a great guy, you know, cares for students, set up that foundation when that kid got paralyzed a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know, thought that he was the blame for it. He's the good side of college football.
Yeah, no doubt.
And to see a guy that's had so much class for so long going down like that, it's sad. And I don't see how he's going to be able to keep his job.
No, I don't.
Because there's
no way you didn't know anything about it.
Well, I mean, he knew.
Yeah.
You know.
And Sandusky... I don't have a proper word that I could probably say on the air to describe
this guy.
You know,
it's sick,
and I don't want to get into a Christian, non-Christian debate here on Shoals Sports Talk,
mm-hmm.
but I think there's a special place in hell for somebody who does
that. I agree.
You know, there is. That's filthy. It's disgusting.
It's sickening.
It's sickening to your stomach to think that somebody would do those type of things. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's sad that it goes on, you know, in the world today with, you know, whether it be him, whether it be you reading the, there was something in the Times Daily.
Teacher.
Last week about a teacher sleeping with a student. I mean, it's disgusting stuff. And how people can do those type of things and even think that that type of thing would be okay. And I don't care what kind of sanity problems you want to blame it on. There's never an excuse for those things. And, you know, and reading different things about it, the authorities have handed down 40 counts, 21 felonies, that he abused 8 boys over a 15-year period starting in 1994.
It's awful, man.
This is my question. If it goes on a 15-year period, how is this not reported? By someone. Somebody knows about it. The same thing that happened with the Tiger situation, with Tiger Woods, and all that stuff that happened with those women and stuff he did. Somebody knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Herm Edwards said it best, and I like Herm okay. I don't agree with everything he says. I like some of the things he says, but he said it best in that Tiger situation that one of the main things he needed to do after all that stuff was out there was remove himself from the people that he was associated with.
Mm-hmm.
Because those people, I mean, it's guy talk. And you know guys are talking. You know Tiger talked about it to guys. Hey, I'm doing this with this girl. You know, I'm doing, and he's a married man.
Yeah.
And those people were nobody probably those said. Guys that you're saying, oh, yeah, buddy, I hear you. You know, this, disgusting. And you got to move yourself away from those people who, like, ag it on almost.
Mm-hmm.
And let you think that it's okay. Because it's not okay.
And you want to think if Joe Pa knew the extent of it, because I want to believe him.
I do too. I want
that he didn't know the extent of that he would say something, but it's the same thing. And I'm not comparing. I'm not about to compare the Jim Tressel situation to the Joe Pa situation.
Because right.
Getting tattoos for money and sexual assault of little boys
is not even close.
It's apples and oranges.
That's two.
But Tressel went down for protecting people.
Right.
And Paterno's going to go down for protecting people.
Right. But in that situation, you can't protect
anybody.
No chance. I don't care if you think he's a good guy, he's making mistakes, maybe you didn't know the extent, and you thought he did it once and he fixed it. If he does it once, I don't care. You got to tell somebody. I don't care if he's a lifelong friend. I don't care if it's a buddy you grew up with since you were 5 years old. You got to tell somebody. Period. Somebody's got to know. You know, and you read stuff. There's an article here. In the past year and a half, we've seen, and it says, Cam Newton's father found to have shopped his eventual Heisman Trophy winning son for profit, which that was denied. Oh, that was acquitted, we'll say. So that, okay, but still, it was talked about.
Well, he did shop him around. And never received money from Auburn, and if he would have went to Mississippi State, he would have been eligible.
Right.
Ineligible.
Right. One of football's most successful coaches, and known as one of the most honest coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got books about winning the right way and handling things the right way and being honest and being trustworthy and being a team person. You know, coaches fired from Ohio State for his dishonesty with NCAA investigations. An imprisoned booster raining down claims of illicit benefits at Miami, the U, and multiple cases of agent and academic, you know, problems. And not to mention the little threats and suits and countersuits that accompany conference alignment. I mean, all of this is happening in the NCAA, and now you add this onto it. Now, granted, I'm not one of those people. I'm not going to rag the NCAA for all these situations. You know, it's not the NCAA's fault that this sicko is messing with boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not their fault. They can't control the, you know, virtue of everyone associated with an NCAA program. They can't do that. But something's got to give in certain things. You know, and the one of the things that's more disgusting to me is that... And in this article, let me look who this is by so I can give credit. Steve Weiberg, I believe, and Jack Carey in USA Today. It says that a 2-year grand jury investigation found that Sandusky, the nasty guy's last name, encountered each of the boys through the Second Mile, which is a youth service foundation that Sandusky established in 1977 and remained associated with until a little more than a year ago. So the guy is setting up, like, youth service foundations that you would think, oh, man, this is a great guy. He's helping out young kids. He's setting up foundations for them. Maybe, you know, underprivileged kids. I don't know the extent of what the Second Mile covers. But then he's this kind of person with it.
Yeah.
And it's sad that you've got to think about, you know, you've got a lot of great people out there that have a lot of great foundations, especially for underprivileged kids. And, you know, and a lot of people do a lot of great work in that area. And it continues to be a great work. But it's sad that you have a situation like this where he starts a foundation and just abuses it to the fullest extent of the word abuse. You know, he had foster children. I mean, that's... And it makes me wonder, what do you have to do to be a foster child? To be a foster parent? You just got to go sign a paper and they'll give you some kids? You know, and I know that it's not like this was open on his record all this time and the state kept giving him kids. I understand that, but my goodness gracious. And, you know, Alex Ricker, who was a former Penn State student and current football season ticket holder, he said that there were whispers about it, you know, about how he had worked, and Ricker had worked second mile camps in State College in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
But he said when it came out, I don't think anybody expected that big of a hit or that serious of an indictment, as well as that many charges. It was sad. The fact, I don't care if there's one charge or 40 charges, one charge is enough.
If you're a sexual predator, you're a sexual predator.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if there's one or 105.
Mm-hmm.
One's enough. Somebody's got to say something. And I don't care if it's something simple. Maybe he didn't, you know, have sex with the boys or anything like that. I don't care what he did. If it was anything small, if it was anything where he was doing anything to any young kids, especially boys, but, I mean, girls either,
yeah,
in a way that's inappropriate, and it's sexual abuse, something's got to be said. Something's got to be done.
I read a thing on Yahoo Sports, Yahoo and Rivals, that said you know, Joe Pa's not in any legal trouble. You know, a lot of people are getting indicted and stuff on this.
Right.
But what people were upset about is, why didn't he tell more people? You know, he told his AD. Why didn't he go tell the cops?
Yeah. You know, that's not something that you say, and let me go tell my boss.
And another thing is, there's reports of him allowing Sandusky to come to practice as late as 2007.
Yeah.
And had 11-year-old with him.
Yeah. It's unacceptable. And I heard, and I can't remember for the life of me what sports radio show I was listening to this morning, but, and he said, that's one of the things where there is no protocol. Okay, there's no, for Joe Pa, let me go tell the AD, my boss, that something's going on, and then I'm going to let him report it. No, when it's something like that, you skip protocol. There mm-hmm. is no, you tell the state police, hey, there's something going on. You know, and this is a little, I say, it's not graphic necessarily, but it's gross to read, but I'm gonna read it. The former grad assistant, who is the, that they're talking about, Curly, I think, is another guy that, you know, is in trouble with it, told the grand jury that he'd caught Sandusky subjecting the boy to anal intercourse and said he reported what he'd seen to Paterno during a meeting at Paterno's home the next day. Paterno then met with Curly, the AD, and according to the grand jury summary, told the AD that the assistant had seen Sandusky fondling or doing something of a sexual nature to a young boy.
It's gross.
And that was, you know, way before now. So how is... The assistant later met with Curly and Schultz, saying he'd witnessed what he believed to be anal sex. You know, in a statement Sunday, Paterno said the assistant was distraught, but he at no time related to me the very specific actions contained in the grand jury report. I don't care if he said, I saw this verbatim 100%. If he saw something of some kind of nature in that area, you skip protocol. There is no protocol. And you go to the state police. You go to the somebody who's going to do something about it now, and you get it taken care of. I'm telling you right now, it's easy to talk, I guess, when you're outside the situation. If I'm a head coach anywhere, I don't care if I'm coaching at the high school level. I don't care if I'm coaching at the Division II level, the NAI level, the D1 level. I don't care if I'm at Southeast Louisiana State University or if I'm at Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
All right? When you see something like that happen, you have to tell someone immediately of authority. And yeah, the AD has authority, but you jump to someone who's going to do something about it right now.
I agree.
And it's, yeah, now I blame, he did tell the AD, you're right. He told somebody. And is it on the AD for not reporting it further? You better believe
it. He's the one that's in trouble, too.
And he's the one that's in trouble for it. But it's sad that this is, and this whole story was a little bit overshadowed by LSU-Alabama yesterday, and, you know, just because that was a big hype game. And
yeah,
and a lot of people, I think a lot of people wanted to think more of LSU-Alabama because those were more, I guess, happy thoughts than this filth that Sandusky has gone through and done. But I mean, and you'll hear talk about this, you know, all week and for weeks to come. And you should. And it's disgusting. It's nasty. You know, it says here Paterno also can't escape the fact that 20 of the charges against Sandusky date to a period from 95 to 98 when Sandusky was Paterno's defensive coordinator. He retired at the end of the 99 season. You know, Paterno said in a statement, "I understand that people are upset and angry, but let's be fair and let the legal process unfold. In the meantime, I would ask all Penn Staters to continue to trust in what the name represents, continue to pursue their lives every day with high ideals, and not let these events shake their beliefs nor who they are." I'll be honest, as a Penn Stater, I don't think it would shake my beliefs, and I don't think I'm necessarily going to throw in the trash what the Penn State program stands for, but it's going to make me feel a little tainted, and it's going to make me
feel... It's a black eye for sure.
It's going to make me... I mean, and I say this in a... What's the word I'm looking for? Not in a, not a literal translation, but a figuratively type way, that it almost makes you feel like you need to go take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to wash some filth off of you, and you didn't do anything wrong. But I'm a part of a program that now has this attached to their name. It's disgusting. And you have different allegations that have happened all across, you know, Miami and their big situation with Neville or however you say his last name, and the stuff that goes on. And yeah, that's a black eye to your program, and that makes you feel bad. But I can handle that.
Yeah.
And that's 100% illegal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's laundering money. He's doing Ponzi schemes. Ponzi schemes and other things like that. And that's 100% illegal. And something needs to happen there, and it will.
Yeah.
But something like this, it makes me – I mean, it's absolutely terrible. It's absolutely disgusting. And something's got to be done. Something will be done. There's no question about it.
Unfortunately, I think Joe Paul stepped down at the end of the season.
I think he very well may. And granted, he's getting older anyway, and I mean, he probably wasn't far from that moment.
You'd hate to see an incident like this.
Yeah, but you hate to see that he can't go out, and he'll still be celebrated as a great coach. You know, sports don't have a special on him and everything he's done. Don't misunderstand me. Joe Paul's not the filth in the situation necessarily.
Yeah.
He's not the one that did these acts.
But he was the head honcho over.
But he is in a position of authority where I feel like whether he knew exactly what was going on or if he knew something was going on, he can do something about it. And he didn't. And that's what the AD, any assistant that knew about it, any human being that knew. I mean, Sandusky's married.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that his wife knew about it and let it happen, because I would hope that she as his wife would say this is not okay. You know, but, and it's sad to think that something can happen like this for so long and so few people do know about it.
Yeah.
You know, people know about it. There's no question that some people did, but so few people do know that something was happening and everyone just said, let's just stay quiet. Let's hope it goes away, maybe. I don't know. But let's just stay quiet. I don't, it's disgusting. It's filthy. I could talk about it all night long and I would probably just continue to say disgusting and filthy. But, I mean, it's bad, man.
I agree. But it's a sad situation. But it'd be interesting. I say that a lot. But it's going to be something to see what happens in Penn State, in Happy Valley. It's definitely not happy right now.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And the program that was untainted from NCAA violations and very many scandals just got a really, really big one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that you'd much rather have a lot of minor infractions in NCAA than something like this.
I'm sure they would trade in having no
NCAA infractions any day of the week right now for something like this. And I would. And you hate that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You hate that for the university, and you hate that for the people in authority that really didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And now, you know, they're saying, could I have done anything? You know, because I would. If I was in that position, could I have done anything? Could I have asked more questions about something, you know? Maybe I could have found something out, and then I could have reported something. You know, I don't know. It's tough. But who knows? I'm gonna let that die. I'm gonna get off my soapbox on that one, because I could go all night.
All night. I think we both could.
Definitely so.
You know, one last thing, and you know, we definitely bounce from topic to topic here, but you know, UNA soccer team today won the first conference title in history.
Absolutely. I need that good news right now.
That's good news.
That's right.
I wanted to bring that up kind of as we close out. You know, they advanced to a regional. A big shout out to those girls. They've worked hard all year and
definitely
won the conference tournament. That's a big deal.
It's a very big deal.
So, you know, that's something a little good to finish out on.
Yeah, keep making our programs look good. I like that. Let's not have any weirdos that we've let in and have anything like that here at UNA. I like the fact that our programs are still looking good. And from as far as I can tell, we've got people of class in positions of authority, and I like it.
I agree.
So, but I think that's all we really got for tonight. We're glad you've stayed tuned. You've listened in. Any comments or questions that you have about the show, let us know. You know, we'll post some things on the Facebook page, possibly tonight and throughout the week. And we want to hear your comments on them. You know, you'll definitely get a shout out if you do. And we look forward to seeing, or look forward to say seeing. I guess we're not seeing anybody on a radio show or podcast, but we look forward to
hearing from you and hearing our feedback,
and we hope that you enjoy listening, and we will see you next time, guys.
Take care.
Word to your mother.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. Crush a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony.